We're learning Gemara Brachot on page Samach Gimel Amud Aleph 63a. Coming towards the end of this wonderful Masechet with some more teachings from the sages. We're learning a few sayings now from Bar Kapara. This is the last one of his. Bar Kapara tells us as follows. We are Drash Bar Kapara. Two lines from the end of the thin line. Drash Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara explained the following. The olam yilamed adam et b'no umanot nakia v'kale. A person should always try to teach his son a trade which is nakia v'kala. Nakia literally clean and kala easy. A trade which is clean and easy. So there's a lot of different interpretations of what that is because we don't get told. Well, we get told next what the Gemara says it is. But in general terms, the Gemara gives an example now of what that is. But in general terms, what does it mean? So the Aruch explains that a trade that is clean means clean from theft. And a trade that is light is one that does not involve risky investments. So something that's clean from theft. So no lawyer jokes. You know, you hear the joke about the lawyer who gets to, I used to be a lawyer, so I can make jokes about that, who gets to Shemayim, and he dies young, he dies when he was only like 40 years old. He gets to Shemayim, and he says to them up there, why take me at 40? I was a lawyer, is not so good, I wasn't such a bad guy. And they say, hold on a minute, what's your name? Angel looks down his list, checks his name, and says, how old do you say you were? I said, 40, I'm only 40. He said, no, can't be right. I've got down here, you're at least 65. He says, no, can't be, I'm 40. So let's see what's happened. So he goes to check what the problem is. He says, we checked your timesheets. According to your timesheets, you're 65. No, you're filling. Top. So even professional trades like lawyers have an aspect of theft. They write down that they did 6 minutes and they only did 3.5 minutes, whatever. So you should try and be careful that whatever trade you have, you can stay away from theft. And easy, light. One that doesn't involve risk. Okay. So then the Gemara gives us an example. Mahi, what is this? And Rav Chista gives an example. Machta de Talmiuta. A machta de Talmiuta. Machat, from a needle, a stitcher. Someone who's a tailor. Tailor de Talmiuta of Talmiuta. Now what is this Talmiuta? So Talmiuta apparently means furrows from Tal. Tal is a little hill, Tel Aviv. So Talmiuta here is someone who stitches furrows. Now obviously there's a little bit of a mixed metaphor. How do you stitch furrows? So here the furrows are apparently on a garment. You have something like a furrow, which is a row of stitches. There's obviously a deeper meaning to what's going on here, because as an example of a trade, to tell you a person who stitches furrows in jackets, it's not so clear what the learning is, why that is particularly an example of something that's clean and light. He could have just told us to be a tailor. But to be a stitcher of furrows obviously has deeper meanings that we're not privy to because we're not yet on those levels. Seems
Rashi saying. Something about an embroiderer.
Where do you see the Rashi? Ah, Machada, Fadet, Yofi. Yafi. Ma'achata b'tamuta. Baroshid. What's this word? Baroshid. Schlagdayish. What's that? German? Ashkenaz? No? Rabbi Reuben, come.
I don't know where you are.
Oh, when Shlag the Rashi. Roshid Schlag Bavayish.
Kind of
no, can't help. Okay, so Shedfil Asuyot Shorot, that they would stitch Asuyot Shorot rows Shorot Shorot Kitalmei Ma'ane, like the furrows of the Ma'ane field.
What it's saying here is an embroiderer.
An embroiderer.
And what an embroiderer does is he stitches rows.
Yeah.
And using fancy thread.
Okay.
And to make patterns and designs.
Uh-huh. So, what do I learn from that in terms of...
Being easy.
They're talking about a short jacket.
Nahon, but what's the Gemara trying to teach me in terms of a good... teaching my son a good trade? So, you can always...
using what you were going at, a clean and easy profession,
okay,
so that he could find time for Torah, mm-hmm, go from one to the other, clean his whole body, and get dirty, and go from one to the other. And it's an easy job, so you can make him think.
Something that you can
think also.
You can put down easily. You don't have to take your work home with you.
Or you can take your Torah to work with.
And also, it's interestingly, when I bought a tallit in Sfat 5 years ago, a long time ago now, and in that in the tallit shop, big, probably Breslov, they're all Breslovers up in Sfat, and they are on these big looms, right, and they're like fill the whole room, and they're weaving back and forwards. Anyway, there's two guys, one and he's like with a pedal, right, and the other one. And so you can, it's like a showroom shop that you can watch them do it and then you can buy the tallit afterwards. Anyway, but the two guys, they're there between them, and the whole time that they're weaving, they're Torah backwards and forwards. This one's saying this. Mishnah, it was great. I've got to buy one of these things. So, that's what
they
hunt the stitcher. Exactly. So I guess they learned this section and decided to go and put it into practice. Also, if you wanna be a bit more drosh, you can. A person needs to teach his son umanut from the umanut from the lashon of emunah. You need to teach your son emunah, which is nakia and bakala, which is clean and light, simple. Teach your son simple emunah. How that then fits in with stitching a jacket, I don't know, but I can't reveal everything in one go. Okay, let's move on. Aha! Here's one to share with your wife when you get back home, or maybe not. Tanya, it was taught in a brighter. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Adam, are you married yet?
No.
Okay, that's a shame to you. Kind of a good match. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Lo'olam al yo'be adam re'in b'toch b'toch. A person should never bring too many friends back home. Don't get too friendly in shul and invite them all back for lunch. Not too many. Why not? Shenema, because it says, Ish re'im lehitroya. A man of friends, meaning many friends, is a quarreler, is likely to quarrel. What's it say? The hit, what sense? Well, a man with a lot of friends is likely to quarrel with them.
What?
If you have a lot of friends, but you're allowed to have a lot of friends, but just don't bring them home. but not lots. Don't know.
A good friend has evil.
Wei Yin.
So is the evil earlier from Wei Yin, Wei Yin. Become.
Ish Wei Yin.
Well, probably the idea is that if you not care about your family, that your kids will be harmed, go to the they will hear a bad influence,
uh-huh.
or your shabbai, so bring them.
So it's good to bring them.
No, if you not care about your family, about your wife, about your kid, about your kids, about your shabbai, about the education of the kids, so bring them.
So, right. If you care, you don't bring them. Right. Who's the quarrel with? The quarrel is probably with your wife when she sees that you've got all these people home and you're ignoring her because you're sitting there with your friends asking for the waitress service for the it's likely to bring quarrels.
No, there's a footnote down here, 35.
Right, the footnote says this is from Michelin. It says it refers to people with whom one has no dealings. Who allows them into his house, sooner or later he's going to quarrel with them. Meiri says this refers to untrustworthy people. And the Maharsha explains that if you have too many friends, it's inevitable that some will be untrustworthy. If you're not careful with your friends, and you just let anyone in. A person has to be careful with their friends. A person has to be careful with everything.
I know a guy that is a blessed tzaddik, is a great tzaddik.
Yeah.
And he has a brother that is... maybe 30, 40 years is very famous in some way, like that Miss Dali Chuba of the Litvish world. And his brother has two or three kids that off from the Derech. And that Tzadik from Bessel told me that it's written in Likutei Moharan, maybe I don't remember, that when you bring people to make them a car in your home,
yeah.
Also, it's quite dangerous that they come into to be mitkarev to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but in the other way they have their influence.
So you're right. So a person has to be careful with who they mix with, and careful with who their children mix with. Right? One in Rav Shalom's book, The Garden of Education, he writes over there that really. It's not a parent's job to tell the kids what to do with this, do this, do that. The idea for a parent is to allow the child to develop his own free will. But there's one area where a parent does need to get involved, is who your kid's mixing with. If your kid's mixing with bad friends, then forget the free will building exercise. It's not appropriate. You need to steer your kid away from bad friends. Bad friends can destroy your child's life.
In more ways than one.
Rabbi Eliezer is saying that also a person has to be careful about the people they bring into the house, right? And that can certainly have people were very keen on doing Kiruv outreach to show people the beauty of Shabbat, to show them what a kosher home looks like, how wonderful it is, and to interest them. But we also have to be aware that, especially if we have kids, the effect that they can have. We invited quite a number of times one of our cousins who lives in Jerusalem for Shabbat. She's quite open to Judaism, not really keeping anything herself, but was, you know, quite happy with it. But she's married now, Baruch Hashem. She was then, say, mid-20s, young girl, secular nature, and I've got two influentiable young girls who are very quite attached to her, and you know, she comes and she reads them. She's very arty. This girl would read them stories about all sorts of stuff, and it was getting a little bit difficult. Oh, she's not married, but then I have the same issue. She doesn't really come to us so much, but it's important. Person has to be very careful on everything. Even who we mix with, who we give tzedakah to, a person has to be careful who he gives his charity to. Can't just give charity to anyone just because they come and ask for you. It can be dangerous. It's not appropriate to give money to people who are going to misuse it. That's on my head. I give him money so he can go and buy drugs, so he can go and buy drink. I've got to account for that, Jemima. Right? That's from me. Right? So everything we do is, there are rules. Rules. Even friends. Even friends.
About Staka, to keep to somebody that you almost sure that he will take it for drink or drugs or something.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's not so damage.
So number one, like if you give a very tiny amount.
Yes.
So it's not so big deal. From you didn't give him thousand shekel.
Right.
And I heard something like that.
Yeah.
That there was midah keneged midah. Like also I know in Yerushalayim, many places in Strauss and also the Chovia, there are many Arabs there, and that they take tzedakah, and sometimes I know that they are Arab and they give them, because in my mind is how we not medakdek with that person, because this is your creations.
Uh-huh.
So, mida keneged mida with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he will not medakdek with us. Like
I hear. It's a worthy statement, but
it's a what?
It's worthy. It's kilu zera'ui. The mashu kilu niren matim. It sounds good, but in a place where we've been told by our sages that it's not appropriate, then we have to listen to them, even though Rav Nachman writes that really when you give tzedakah to someone who's not worthy, you spiritually speaking, you feed the dark forces, you increase the amount of power that the dark force has in the world, because you're feeding it, right? And being kind to the cruel is not a Jewish point of view. Being kind to cruel people is not
right. Unfortunately, there's
a good. I want to be kind. I want to do good, and it's a good thing to always do good to people and help people. But it's not always.
But in general, if it's non-Jewish guy,
yeah,
or lady that they, you know, they sitting on the floor and they.
Doesn't matter if they're Jewish or non-Jewish. The same rules. If they're a genuine person that needs and they're using it for good, then it's good. And if they're not, doesn't matter if they're Jewish or not Jewish.
And that cheshbon of midah keneged midah, we not medakdek.
No,
you,
because it's more
you
because
Kadosh Baruch Hu
no,
not medakdek
because
with us.
Because the damage I'm doing is not going to be helped by the benefit of the me being kind. You're right. Yeah, I did a kindness to him, but he's a bad person, and it's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem didn't want me to do that. I caused more problems than I fixed. Yes, I get. You could say on the one hand I got benefit because I created a benefit by doing a kindness in the world. A chesed, doing something good.
Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu mefarnes mikarnei remim ad betekinim, like from
he
mefarnes all the.
He doesn't want us to mefarnes evil in the world. He doesn't want evil to grow. If we promote, we help evil grow in the world. It's not.
My philosophy is like also a guy that he unfortunately used drug, he have to eat.
Nachon, you're right, he does. But then the question is that my problem, and can I actually make a change here? If I give him money and tell myself he's going to use it for food, he's going to use it for good, he's going to go.
Give him a pet.
What do you want? So take him, sit down in a restaurant. As a guy, there was a guy in London. Baruch Hashem, one of the ways to get to Eretz Yisrael is to give tzedakah. We've seen all our friends, people who made it to Aliyah, are ones who gave tzedakah. So Hashem blessed us in London that I was a lawyer or whatever, we had money. So we gave a lot of tzedakah. Anyway, so one guy came to us, an Israeli guy, insisted that he wanted to just come back home, wanted to come back to Israel, and needed money for a ticket. Top. Listen to him. In the end, I called up the travel agent and I booked him a ticket with my credit card. But if you're serious, let's do it. Because you can't, you don't know, I don't give him $300 or whatever, $500 to who knows what it'll be. Even if he's got good intentions, by the time he gets home and he walks past the liquor store on the way back, you know, everyone's got a Yetzer. Even if he wanted, he intended to use it, you never know what's going to happen.
What happened?
I don't know. Bought my ticket. I assume he's on the plane over there.
Did he?
One way. I know.
So he bought the ticket. Hopefully he used it. I mean, those tickets you can't redeem.
Yeah, hopefully not. I don't know. I didn't check, but...
Okay.
I did what I could.
No, but as a former school administrator, I see this all the time.
How?
Kids going off the derelict.
Oh, I see. Tov, let's do a bit more.
I mean, we're not even mentioning the Arab Rub government in the peace process.
No, we're not. Tanya, it was taught in a brighter. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said, Al Yemane Adam Apitropos, the Toch Beitom. You should not appoint an apitropos, an administrator. Apitropos is usually used as a for orphans. Orphans have an apitropos that administer their funds. That's an apitropos. Here in this situation, don't know, let's see.
Or people that they mentally problems.
Yeah, also in a person, power like a power of attorney. But here we're talking about a person who is either in charge of the house, an administrator of the house. They don't really have them. They have them in the old Sound of Music. What's that woman?
The nanny.
No, the one who runs the home. Like, if you're really wealthy and posh, you probably have enough money to waste, and you might consider it. But I guess most of us probably wouldn't do that. Anyway, why shouldn't you do that? You shouldn't appoint one of these apitropuses, an administrator for your home. Why not? She il malei lo mine potifar et Yosef apitropus betok beito lo ba lo to devar. Because if Potiphar had not appointed Yosef in Egypt as that apitropos, that administrator in his house, lo bad lo to devar, he would not have come to that thing. Right? His wife would not have attempted to seduce him. Don't appoint... So there's a few ways of looking at it. Where... If we say that we're talking about appointing I don't even know what you call it these days, a person who's in charge of the household, running the house. The man decides he's going to go off to business and he's not home a lot. So I'm going to appoint someone to look after the house, to look after the money, to give my wife the money she needs for shopping. We don't really do this because now the wife fulfills this role. She's in charge. I guess in the older days when the woman wasn't really in charge of the money and the business and looking after everything. And you might want to have somebody in charge of those things. So, not a good idea. Why? Because we saw there in the case of Yosef, what can happen if... And that was with Yosef. The wife can get interested in the administrator. So, before I said anything else. Oh, Tov. Rashi got anything? Apitropos, machnis, motzi, nechasar. Machnis and motzi. He brings in and out his nechasar, his property. Like a financial administrator. It's basically a financial administrator. Someone who looks after the money. Okay. Next, Tanya. It was taught in a brighter. Rebbe Omer. Lama. Why was the parasha in the Torah of Nazir, the Nazir, do you know what Nazir is? Nazir is a person who gives up drink. He swears himself off drink and any grape products and not allowed to shave his hair. We don't really have them nowadays. There are some people who do that, but they're not real Nazirs. It was only in the days of the Torah, because in the days of the Torah, the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, you could at the end of your Nazirut, you usually did it for a period, a minimum period of 30 days. It was very rare, like Shimshon, who was like for life a Nazir. Right? That's not normal. That was like just a one-off. Mostly people took it on themselves for a short period of time in order to stay away from wine, stay away from stuff to work on themselves. But at the end of the period that you chose to take it on yourselves, you'd have to bring a sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash and in order to kind of finish your procedure. So you don't have that anymore. So anyone who takes it on themselves now, there's no way to really get out of it. So it's not a good idea to be a Nazir. But what are we learning here? So we're learning here that the fact that the Torah wrote the laws concerning a Nazir next to the section of a Sota. What's a Sota? Sota is a woman who is suspected of adultery. She's suspected of adultery not just because the husband woke up one day and got upset with his wife, but it's suspected because she's been seen. She had to be seen with a man in a secluded place for a period of time that would be long enough for them to have been together. If there were two witnesses to that, then the husband can officially, formally accuse his wife of being a sota, which is a suspected infidelity. And in order to test out the truth of whether or not she was actually with someone, so she would have to drink the waters, the bitter waters, which are water in which the name of Hashem has been erased into.
And a little dirt put in.
And a little bit of dust from the floor of the Beit HaMikdash is also added in.
But before they do that, they have to uncover her hair and push her from side to side, front and back.
I don't know about the question.
We covered it in either Gittin, Hagiga or Tanis.
I don't recall the pushing her. I don't recall the pushing her.
They were pushing her from, like, having her walk. Yeah, so they were literally.
I don't remember the pushing texture.
But I mean, like, it's like having her.
She might have to walk.
Walk
right?
Back and forth, you know, they were until she was exhausted. Trying to convince her.
I'm not sure.
I forgot about the tearing of the clothes.
Okay.
On the footnote. And then she drinks the water and explodes.
She only explodes. She only explodes if she's guilty. She doesn't literally explode. Her stomach is destroyed by the water. She dies. If she's already pregnant, she gets good children. She gets the benefit. Okay.
But I remember reading a footnote saying it was rather, that's not true, but something out of a horror film.
Well, don't know.
When you have a cookie mind, after she was nursing, she becomes pregnant.
As a what mind?
Right, she's pregnant.
Yeah, but if he came, if he came to choose her in the Beit HaMikdash,
yeah,
he believes in the pen, then he's good. He's clear. He's got out of that doubt. Nothing worse than a doubt, right? And it's better to be resolved either way. Being in doubt on anything is not good.
Yeah,
so if you're in doubt, you can get out of the doubt. If you can, the man did doubt. So to get out of that doubt,
say when you're you can. Mind
him, you, well, think of someone else. Well, if he's crazy. Can't. Torah doesn't legislate for idiots. Torah legislates for the normal fancy people. What? Anna threatened to put herself through it. Anna threatened Hashem that she wanted children. In her prayer to Hashem, she said that she would make herself a sota in order to drink the bitter waters. In order that way she would get pregnant.
Why not?
Huh?
So many people they have no children, so when you make them jealous, people.
Nachon, you're right, but it's not ideal because you have to erase the name of Hashem in order to do that, which is not such a nice thing to do.
Thinking of the story of Sota,
yeah.
To Makot, where they use only me.
Yeah.
So if you have false witnesses, what do you do to this?
Do you make them drink the nice Gedalia? You can answer this question.
They weren't scheming against her.
Why not? They could be scheming against her.
They were scheming against him.
Why is it against him?
Because they wanted him to.
What? And it's up to him if he chooses. He chooses to accuse her. If Gedalia, Edim Zomamim accuse a sota of being secluded with someone, and she wasn't, Do they have to drink the waters in there?
Oh, that's nice.
So in order to get my question,
maybe only the woman can drink it. It's a nice question. to throw you out, the law of Eden Zomerman is a special law which says that if witnesses come to accuse someone of doing something, and it's only in certain circumstances they're found out to be lying, then you have to do to them what they intended to do to the other person. So we're just saying now, in the case where two witnesses came to make the woman drink this water, would they have to drink the water in her place?
Oh, only the men, the husband, he have to become children.
Why?
He have to go to the point and listen to say,
but there's no witnesses. Maybe. So it's not yet. So it's not in Beit Din. And the witnesses, I don't know, maybe the witness top.
No, listen.
You're right, maybe it would be nice. It's nice. Tom, anyway, so back to our question in the Gemara. Gemara wants to know why do those two parashiot, those two sections appear in the Torah next to each other? In order to teach you something. Lomar lecha, to tell you, shekol ha'ro'eh sota bekilkula, anyone who sees a sota in her ruination, kilkul, in her distress, in her
disgrace,
yazir atzma min hayayin, he's going to make himself a nazir from wine. He's going to separate himself from wine. Anyone who sees this is going to separate himself from wine. Why? Because that's what caused it. When he sees the disgrace that a woman has to go through, then he'll become a nazir. So there's a nice little drosha here in the footnotes that tells you that asks and answers a nice question. That's very nice. What does he say? It says the Gemara says over here that anyone who sees a sota, a woman, in this disgrace will become a nazir. So he asks, why would you become a nazir just because you saw it happen? If you were involved in the process, you were the husband, you were affected by it, so fine, you can understand, right? But just to see it, you know, you read about it in the newspaper. Well, I'm going to become a nazir now. So why? So the answer is, so the truth is, a person should. This is straight out of the God of Amunah. Says that all one sees or hears should know that the Gemara is teaching you here that everything one sees or hears does not come his way by coincidence, but contains a divine message. One must therefore view his encounter with the sota as a sign from above and act accordingly. The fact that you saw it, the fact that you happen to be passing, the fact that you happen to read about it is a message for you. It's all a divine communication. Look at that, straight from here. Anyone who argues Gan and Muna, just point them to Rabbi Art Scroll, page 63a, in the name of a very chashuv rabbi who had nothing to do with Breslov. And he says that everything you see or hear is a divine message. Hashem speaking to you. If you take that to heart, you happen to see a sota, which is a terrible thing to see. So you have to know this. Why am I seeing this? Why am I? What's my message here? Yofi, very nice. Amar Hiskia, Berei de Rabbi Parnach. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Hiskia, the son of Rabbi Parnach, said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lama nismacha parashat sota leparashat trumat v'maswot? Why, on the other side of the parasha, the other connection of the parasha, is the parasha of sota next to the laws of truma amaseh, laws of giving tithes? Lomar lecha, in order to tell you, kol sheyesh lo trumot v'maswot ve'eino notnan lekohen, anyone who has tithes and does not give it to the Kohen, sof nitzrach l'kohen ayidei ishto, in the end, he will need the Kohen through his wife. Meaning, he will need to come to the Kohen because his wife will be a sota. If you don't, you're going to have to go and see the Kohen for the good or the bad. Come with good and don't have to come with bad. But either way, right? We can, either way, if we've got a, if a person wants to give charity, person one, he's got an obligation to do charity, you've got to give 10% minimum of all your earnings. You can either do it out of choice, or Hashem's going to take it another way. Right? You're going to get bills, you're going to get things that happen, you're going to, it's going to go. Much better that you get the benefits of giving it and not having it taken away from you. Either way, it's not your money, it's not your choice, it's not in your hands. May as well, right, so here, give your tithes to the Kohen, otherwise you're going to have to come to the Kohen anyway through a different unpleasant situation. How do we know this? Shne'mar brings a source. V'ish et kasha. Et kadashab lo yu. And a man, his holy things will be for him. Samech le ish ish. Ki tisteisho. This verse is next to, juxtaposed with a verse which says, any man whose wife strays, ukativ, and it's also written, v'hevi heish el ishto, and the man shall bring his wife to the Kohen. So we see that the laws of Masrot are also juxtaposed to the passages talking about a wife going astray and having to bring her to the Kohen. So we see there the connection between the two. Teaching that you can learn out from the fact that they're both together in the Torah.
Yeah. What do you mean? Is it connected to the fact that a woman is usually attracted to holiness? Women are more holy than men. So if the man is not giving his tithes to the Kohen, then he's not holy. She's going to be drawn to someone else who is.
Uh-huh.
Drawn
that's
to that type of man.
Definitely, that could be the next year. Personally, a man who is holy, who is doing what he should be doing, his wife is very connected, wants to be very connected to him. And you can be sure that also it's not just in one area, that you know, a person who's not giving tithes is also in other areas going to be Beth, very good. Would anyone say something?
No, I hate to get sweet, sorry, but I don't know this subject. You say, I don't know what's about charity or so. But Hashem can take your wife before the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So maybe because he not give the master.
Uh-huh.
So Hashem, the Kohen take the wife. Although, like Hashem takes wife before the time.
Can't be so easy to get rid of the wife. Can't be that easy to get rid of the wife.
Yofi. How are we doing? The lot odd, not only this, Ela Sofian Itzrach Lehem. Not only this, a person who doesn't give his tithes, what also happened? Sofian Itzrach Lehem. He will require them himself in the end, meaning he will require that charity himself. A person who doesn't give charity, he's going to end up Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. Right? So, why? Shneimar, like it says, V'ish et kadashav lo yu. A man's holy things, they will be for him. How do we understand that? Right. If he keeps them for himself, then he'll have to rely on the holy things. Right. The holy things will be for him. That those.
It's interesting when you're married, you have shown by duty. Whenever you keep commenting on Hashem, you have shown by
okay.
Shalom is Hashem's name.
Right.
So when you not keep the laws, let's say the Masa Sheni, you not keep the Tzedakah, but you can also Hashem.
Right.
So we take your wife before the time. So what means is you have no Shalom? There's no Shekinah right now.
Nachon, but why only that? Why only that? Law, why that law particularly, you can say against all the laws. Okay, So let's carry on a little bit more. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak says as follows. V'im natnan, if he does give his tithes, he does give his maaseh, his charity, sof mit asher, in the end he will become rich. Shneimar, like it says, ish asher yiten lekohen lo yeh. A man who will give this to the kohen, right, the tithes, lo yeh, it will be for him. Lo yeh mamon habeh. What it means, there will be for him a lot of wealth. Right? Rav Nachman writes, a person who wants to be wealthy, he should give more charity. This version is basically the main English version that exists of the Gemara, but with a lot of footnotes that kind of talk about on the bottom. It's actually that, you know, there's a
these things you can test Hashem.
No, Rabbi, I bring out the bits which are kind of.
Okay. Okay.
But these sections we're talking about here are all. Truth is the whole Torah, and Rabbi Nachman is throughout the whole thing. So they just have to be very subjects which lend themselves to this interpretation. Okay. Amar Rav Huna bar Chaya. Bishum Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Rav Huna bar Barachia said in the name of Rav Elazar HaKapar, Kol HaMeshatef Shem Shamayim B'Tsa'aro Koflin Lo Pranasato. Anyone who makes the name of Hashem, the name of heaven, a partner in his distress, we'll have to see what that means, they double his livelihood for him. What does it mean, a partner in his distress? It means through prayer. Look at this. You can just cut out these pages and stick it straight in. Top. Or what does it mean? Either by saying Baruch Dayan Ha'emet, acknowledging that Hashem is a true judge, that in his distress it's from Hashem, it's only for my good. Right. So if I acknowledge that, I turn to Hashem and ask for help, then they double your parnasa. They give you back more. Why? Because Hashem gave me the difficulty, gave me the problem, because He wants me to turn to Him. That's the only reason Hashem. I'm talking about Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi says.
Rashi puts it in the same words.
Yeah.
Moshe bevarich al ha'ra'ah.
Nachman, right? When you give us first, and you have your salary,
The church, it's either you admit that it all came from Hashem and you acknowledge that this is from Hashem, it's for my good, or that I turn to Hashem and ask for mercy, ask for help to get out of this problem. Then what happens? Hashem gives you back double. Why? Because you've acknowledged it. You've done what He wanted. He didn't want to give you the distress. The only reason He gave you the distress is in order to bring you back, to bring me back to Him, to call out to Him, to acknowledge that He's right. Give me a munah, make my life better. And when I do that, then I get double. Top, it's a good place to end today. Hashem, see you next week.